went out there, and the big state logistics double fuel tanker had gone into the ditch. And after coming to a stop, the tanks rolled over on their side.
A tanker truck skirts disaster near Klukwan. A Haines registered nurse becomes a certified diabetes educator. And the Conference of Young Alaskans concluded in Juneau over the weekend. I'm Adam Richard. It's the KHNS Local News up next. Saturday marked a close call for residents of Klukwan and Haines Highway when a semi pulling two full tankers of fuel oil found its way into the ditch, sending its tanks over on their side. Alaska State Trooper Josh Bentz was first on the scene and had this to say about what he saw.
Went out there, and the big state logistics double fuel tanker had gone into the ditch, and after coming to a stop, the tanks rolled over on their side. First off, the driver was uninjured. He was wearing a seatbelt and didn't have any injuries whatsoever.
The driver of the semi was given a preliminary breath test immediately upon Trooper Bentz's arrival. The driver blew a 000, which eliminated alcohol from possible reasons for the accident. Bent said there was two small leaks from the tanks, both of which the driver had secured immediately. As for how much fuel leaked?
There was a little bit of leak. I mean, it's a fuel truck. It's going to smell like fuel. And I think there was a little bit leaked into the snow, but very little. It's hard to determine how much was actually leaked, but we're talking single digits, you know, single digit gallons. I would suspect less than 5 gallons.
Considering the semi was carrying 10,554.9 gallons of fuel oil, the leakage was minimal. Tankers have what is known as rollover domes and dome clamps that are designed to keep the fuel in the tankers upon flipping. The semi and tankers are owned by Big State Logistics, and the fuel was owned by a company in Canada. Haines Delta Western was called to the scene for oil spill response, but had no connection to the truck or its contents. Delta Western provided spill containment equipment, but as it turned out, it wasn't needed as no leaks had occurred other than the initial small leaks that were contained. Before the tanker could be righted, its contents had to be emptied. An empty double tanker was brought down from Tok and arrived on the scene at about 9 p.m. The fuel was pumped from the disabled rig to the empty rig, and the fuel was sent to Haines. Sunday morning, Southeast Road Builders was hired to right the tanker truck and remove it from the ditch, with Haines' Roger Schnabel operating the equipment. The accident happened on Klukwan Hill, which allowed troopers to redirect traffic through Klukwan instead of closing the highway. Here is Trooper Bentz with more from the scene.
What they did was Southeast Road Builders took an excavator and dug out all the way around it and got it upright. Once they got it upright, they took some manipulation, but they got it out of the ditch. And turns out the truck had zero damage and was driven away from the scene.
The truck was sent back to Fairbanks, where its tanks will be double-checked for breaches, and the tractor itself will be cleaned up and checked for frame damage. Trooper Bentz said no citation had been issued. He also said that he hadn't ruled it out, but was leaning towards not issuing a citation. Fred Gray of Delta Western said the handling of the incident was textbook and commended Trooper Bentz and Southeast Road Builders for their performance on the scene. Diabetes. It's a disease we have probably all heard of, but many of us may not know just how far-reaching it really is. The 2011 National Diabetes Fact Sheet says that 25.8 million people in the United States have diabetes. That's 8.3% of the population. Of those, only 18 million have been diagnosed. It is estimated that 79 million people have prediabetes, or blood glucose levels that are elevated but not high enough to be diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. Lisa Schwartz, registered nurse and diabetes case manager at the Haines Health Center, recently received her Certified Diabetes Educator Credentials, or CDE, from the National Certification Board for Diabetes Educators. She did so after attending the Alaska Area Diabetes Conference in Anchorage. Diabetes educators must be employed in the field of diabetes self-management education and have a minimum of 2 years and 1,000 hours of work experience in the field before they can take the test. The certification is good for 5 years. Here is Lisa Schwartz to tell us more about the specialized field and how she found her way there.
Well, it's kind of a specialty area within nursing where you have to reach a minimum, you know, have a couple years history of working specifically with diabetes and diabetics, and have like 1,000 hours of work experience, and at least 400 of those hours have to be in the last year, and then you take a very comprehensive exam. I worked in high-risk OB where I took care of birthing moms that were diabetics. That was pretty comprehensive and intense. And then in home health, I taught newly diagnosed diabetics as well as patients with diabetes with very complicated other illnesses and disease processes in their home, how to take care of themselves. So I previously worked with diabetes in those settings, and then I've been in this position for about 2.5 years working in caring for people with diabetes.
With a third of the population at risk for diabetes, there are a number of warning signs and risk factors to watch out for.
Extreme thirst, frequent urination, those are pretty common signs of diabetes. Being overweight or obese or having a sedentary lifestyle, those are risk factors, as is in large abdominal girths or any of the metabolic syndrome. So high cholesterol levels or high blood pressures make people more at risk for diabetes. And just staying more active, physically active, and eating more vegetables and fruits can lower your chances of getting diabetes.
If you think you may be exhibiting warning signs of diabetes, there are a few ways you can be tested.
They can get tested at the clinic, and also there's going to be a health screening that's coming up in our community the 27th and 28th. Performed by Search. It's open to the entire community. It's a health screening. And also at the health fairs, they can be screened.
Lisa said she also visits the clinics in Haines, Clequan, and Skagway, so individuals can be screened that way as well. In wrapping things up, Schwartz had this to say.
You know, I guess what I would share with people is that diabetes is a very serious disease, and a lot of times people think because it's chronic that it's not serious, but it leads to many, many other health problems as people age. And so the more active people stay during their life cycles, the less likely they're going to have of becoming diabetic. I think it's really important when I'm working with people is to really help empower them to manage, you know, I educate them to manage their own disease of diabetes so that when a person feels empowered, then they're actually more motivated to take care of themselves.
If you have more questions about diabetes, the American Diabetes Association has a variety of information available at www.diabetes.org. Or if you would like to make an appointment for a screening, you should contact your local health care provider, or you can contact the Haines Health Center at 766-6300. The Conference of Young Alaskans, or COYA, wrapped up their conference on Saturday. 55 young delegates from around the state met in Juneau on January 4th through 7th. The goal of the conference was to draw delegates from around the state to consider the challenges facing Alaska and her people. COYA says their delegates represent the voice of Alaska's next generation of leaders. Here is Juneau's Alice Otteson McKean with more on the story.
As the 2012 Conference of Young Alaskans came to a close Saturday, delegates proudly patted their peers on the back, congratulating each other on the final document they produced. The phrases awe-inspiring, empowering, honored, and eye-opening were used countless times to describe the three-day conference. Every delegate seemed positively affected by the experience, including 18-year-old Brad Gusty from Stony River.
I now know issues for other people in Alaska, like their communities and what they want.
The COYA delegates bonded over their passion for Alaska as they discussed issues pertinent to the state. The final result of their discussion and debate was a document that represents the consensus of the group on five topic areas. economic resilience and fiscal policy, education and workforce development, energy and power, and living harmoniously. In addition to oil and coastal management, recommendations include, among other things, reinstating a state income tax, mandating all utilities use net metering at competitive rates, and repealing Article 1, Section 25 from the Alaska Constitution that describes marriage as between a man and a woman. 20-year-old Leontie Williams is one of several delegates selected to present the document to the legislature in March. He was impressed by the unity of the group.
We were all able to put aside our differences and just come together for something greater. It was kind of funny because a lot of us were pretty upset that there was only like 98%. That just comes to show you just what high expectations we have for this and just how unified we feel.
In the final report, the delegates leave Alaskan leaders with this challenge.
Just as our predecessors challenged us, we challenge you to help others to love and cherish our homeland and lead Alaska forward.
The final report will be available at youngalaskans.org later this month. From Juneau, I'm Alice Audison McKean.
Special thanks to Alice Audison McKean for help with this broadcast. For KHNS, I'm Adam Richard.